We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Riley, I'm going to start with a couple of questions on the truck toll issue. As we know, Republicans like yourself have been very critical of Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo and legislative leaders on this. But here in Rhode Island, we've had Republican governors for more than 20 of the last 30 years as the state's infrastructure has degraded. Even if we want to accept the premise that the governor's office is not strong in Rhode Island, the governor can still use the bully pulpit. So how much responsibility do Republicans bear for not focusing more attention in recent decades on the infrastructure issue and coming up with a plan to improve it and to overhaul the DOT?
I think both parties are responsible in terms of where we are today. You have a very powerful legislature that's controlled the purse strings of the DOT, and you have had Republican governors who have appointed the directors and run the day-to-day operations. Governor Cicchetti convened the Blue Ribbon Panel. They put forward a bunch of solutions. Tolls were one of them in Hopkinton, and we're met with a thud at the General Assembly. It's been no secret for a long time we've had really bad infrastructure. I think it's a collective failure on the part of a lot of people. In putting it in context with this debate, it's not that we're criticizing the governor for, you know, bringing this to light and trying to put forward a solution. We all agree things need to be done. It was what she tried to do and how she tried to do it and what she's going to do now that we disagree with.
To come at the issue from a different perspective, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello last year put the brakes on Governor Raimondo's first iteration of her truck toll proposal. He said he was convinced by an economic study that this is the right thing to do and that the impact on business will not be too onerous. Do you think that study was really a legitimate study, or do you think this was more of a fig leaf to offer some cover for your Democratic colleagues in the legislature?
Well, I think whether or not the methodology of the study was good or bad, the study was done for a bill that wasn't passed. The study was done for the bill that was proposed last year. That was the REMI study. So the bill that we passed today was significantly slimmed down. There were changes made to it in terms of the projects that were going to be front-loaded. So I don't give a lot of credibility to what the study purported to be the economic benefits from this plan.
Let's go to Scott.
Does the speaker deserve any credit at all for taking a bad plan and making it less bad? I mean, he did cut down the tolling and he did make it less onerous for the trucking industry.
Well, I think some of the big changes we made to last year's plan and the fact that he put the brakes on last year's plan does deserve credit, and I will certainly give it to him. Last year, and it also puts into context that the governor's original plan that she wanted to have passed really was tremendously flawed in terms of the debt that was going to be issued, the lack of procedural safeguards, the questions that remained unanswered about the tolls that were going to back the debt. I think the speaker had the right questions. I think the speaker came to the wrong conclusion in terms of the final plan that was offered. And again, I think probably 75% of that bill really was pretty innocuous in terms of the Garvey debt, front-loading some of those projects, and spending more money in the interim. It was that toll component, and especially because people like me have serious legal concerns as to how that plan's going to pan out for people who they're claiming aren't affected under the proposal now. We don't think that's the case going forward. So I think the plan was changed, but I think the final plan that was passed out had some fatal flaws.
The State Department of Transportation has been entrusted with a lot of responsibility in this infrastructure plan, and DOT has had a lot of problems over the years. The agency's current director, Peter Alviti, says new steps and new approaches have been put in place to try and ensure that things are appropriately safeguarded and progress is monitored. Do you think DOT is up to the task?
Well, I think the jury's still out on whether or not they're up to the task. I don't disagree with Director Alviti's reforms that he's been trying to make. I think his heart's in the right place, his mind's in the right place, he's trying to do the right things. I disagreed with him on bridge tolls, but the clock is ticking. And he came forward last spring with a lot of reforms, and we gave him those tools in last year's budget. We gave him additional funding in last year's budget. I am awaiting the results of all of the resources that we have been giving him.
How do you feel about the push to legalize marijuana?
You know, this is an issue where I'm hearing more now from people on it, but it's very strong on both sides. And I've heard from people who are very strong proponents of legalization. But particularly in Portsmouth and Middletown, I have two very strong town prevention coalitions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's face it, politically, these are parents of school-age children. They are from all walks of life and all throughout the political spectrum. And I know them from running races and them being my constituents for some time. So this is not certainly not a Democrat or Republican issue. From what I've been able to tell, it doesn't seem to be a liberal or conservative issue. One of the things we have to keep in mind, though, is that this is also an issue that we don't have all of the cards you know, we don't hold all of the cards for in the state. We, you know, this is still, if we were to legalize it tomorrow, it's still a Schedule I controlled substance at the federal level. I think we are limited as to what we can do as a state.
Yeah, but seriously, where you are in the east side of the bay, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. You could throw a joint, basically, to Massachusetts. If Massachusetts legalizes marijuana, you have to admit there's no way the state of Rhode Island is going to stop people from going to the Bay State to purchase pot. So shouldn't we be thinking about how we're going to regulate it?
You know,
is there any way to stop that?
We are already trying to stop people crossing between the border with illegal drugs. So I'm not going to comment on the efficacy of law enforcement's efforts, but you know, certainly it's going to remain an issue at that point if we're trying to chase money that we otherwise would be taxing. But if people are going there to buy something that's still illegal here, I don't know what Rhode Island's take, other than the possession of an illegal substance, there's certainly no money on the line if we're not taxing it for us to be grabbing as it comes back into the state. So, but I don't know how quick or how close Massachusetts is to legalizing it. They may do it this year. They may not, but we don't know what the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts thinks about it either.
We're talking here with State Representative Daniel Riley, a Portsmouth Republican. And Representative, you're one of just 16 Republicans in the 113-seat General Assembly. There's seemingly been a fertile atmosphere for Republicans to add seats when Rhode Island went through the Great Recession in recent years, and Democrats have run the show for so long up there, but the GOP really hasn't had much success in adding legislative seats. Why will it be any different this year?
Well, I think we're not going to have the master lever. I think that may affect some races on the margins. We have a lot of races that are lost by very close margins. We have some races that are won by very close margins. So it's not every race is a blowout. And I think where little changes like getting rid of the master lever could show results for us there. We're a successful party at the local level here, and one of the issues that we have is getting people who run successfully for town council and school committee seats to then get up and run for the General Assembly. And I think we're finding more and more promise in terms of getting those candidates for General Assembly seats. And they have that local track record. We've developed the farm team. And so I think we're going to see greater success getting those folks to run. And then you're going to see the fundraising improve, and you're going to see better results. You just saw with Senator Pagliarini in Portsmouth and Tiverton and Bristol that there's some big issues that people are concerned about right now. Tolls were one of them there. We'll see how that affects other races. But people are energized, and I think they don't believe the state's going in the right direction, so why elect more people of the majority party?
And we're almost out of time here, but I want to ask you about the impasse on the State Ethics Commission, which has been unable to police the core functions of state lawmakers since a 2009 state Supreme Court decision. There seems to be some desire, at least on the part of some of your colleagues in the state Senate, to give voters the opportunity to vote on an overhaul that would allow the Ethics Commission to police legislators. Do you think that issue is going to get a vote on the House floor this year?
I don't think it's going to get a vote on the House floor. I think the Speaker's very strong opinions on it. On the issue itself, I think that several years ago there was a quote-unquote compromise bill that made clear that, you know, legislators wouldn't be punished by the Ethics Commissioner through complaints filed against them for things they said to reinforce the speech and debate clause. I think that's something in spirit I certainly support. I wasn't there for that bill, but it's one of those issues that there are genuine concerns on the part of legislators. If that's the bill that comes out of the Senate, I think it should get consideration in the House. I don't think that's going to happen this year, though.
All right, we have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And State Representative Daniel Riley, a Portsmouth Republican.
Thanks so much for having me.